He says, remember Lot's wife. She's a sign of the proverb, isn't she? I don't believe he's saying remember what she looked like, what color her hair was, or what a mother kind of mother she was. He's saying remember when she disobeyed God by looking back because she had an idolatrous heart and she was turned into a pillar of salt.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
And Dave, today it's Letter Day, and I have a note from Kristen in New York. She writes, Dear Pastor Lundstedt, thank you for your radio program. My daughter and I listen on the VCY radio app, and I study the suggested Bible verses when I have time. Your inspiration helps me to be directed and focused on the Word of God. Warm regards, Kristen. Well, Kristen, thank you so much for letting us know how God is using His Word. And it's just such a blessing to know that He's using the broadcast to keep you focused on His Word. Thank you. And I just want to just thank all the rest of our listeners, too, who have contacted us or who support this ministry. We are so thankful for you, and we are so thankful for all of you who pray for us. Don't stop praying. Keep praying. God is doing amazing things through His Word. People are coming to faith, and people are being built up. So I'd encourage you to keep praying for Equipping the Saints, and as the Lord leads, if you're able to give a gift, we would so appreciate it. Okay, well now it's time to get to our study. So let's turn together to Ezekiel chapter 14.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Later on, he gives them the answer they don't expect for the purpose of laying hold the hearts of those, as we see here, who are estranged from me. They're separated. I'm going to address your sin because you're separated. That's what God's saying. How often have we responded the same way the Lord responds? When someone is obviously an idolater, claiming to follow the Lord, but they're obviously living an idolatrous life. We say, look, you can't serve two masters. Your issue is your sin. So we have a gracious God. Instead of giving them the answer they want, He wants to lay hold of the hearts of those who are separated and estranged. So therefore, He's to tell them something. Verse 6, therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, repent and turn away from your idols and turn your faces away from all your abominations. There's the answer. There's the answer that resolves the estrangement. There's the answer that resolves the separation. There's the answer that resolves judgment. Therefore, the Lord is going to give them an answer so He can lay hold of their hearts. Therefore, He says, repent and turn away from your idols. The only way to deal with estranged idolaters, not strange idolaters, but estranged idolaters, those who are separated because of idolatry, is heart repentance. That's the only way. Now, what does it mean to repent? We have this word here in Hebrew, shuv, or shub. Some say shub, some say shuv, depending on how you pronounce that. And it simply means to turn or to return. It speaks of a reversal of direction. Now, in the New Testament, we have the term repent, metanoia. Meta means a change of mind. And in true repentance, there will be a fruit of repentance. If I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to go to Publix grocery store, and I change my mind and go to Publix. Wait a second, I didn't change my mind at all. If I change my mind to go to Walmart, I change my mind to actually do what my mind changed to, right? If I go to Publix, I didn't change my mind. I'm still going there. You see? This is not what the Apostle Paul said when he was on trial before King Agrippa. Turn to Acts 26. Repentance is a change of mind which results in a change of behavior or action. Acts 26, verse 19. Consequently, King Agrippa, I did not prove disobedient to the heavenly vision, but kept declaring both to those of Damascus first and also at Jerusalem and then throughout all the region of Judea and even to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds appropriate to repentance. You see, when you truly repent, it's going to manifest in your deeds. Repentance is not a work, but it brings about a work. Faith works. True faith works. Faith is not a work, but true faith works. You can look at James chapter 2. Now, it's interesting. In our passage, it's got some interesting words here. It says, turn away from your idols and turn your faces away. So it says, repent and turn away. And turn away your faces. Here we have the word turn twice, in a sense. We have an imperative. It's a command. And then we have the exact same word in a causative or hifel form. Shuva vahashuva. Okay? Basically, it says, repent and be caused to turn. You see what I'm saying? That really helps us understand. You repent and you're caused to then turn away from them, right? Repent and be caused to turn away from your house and turn your faces away from all your abominations. True repentance consists of a mental decision to turn because you're convicted by God through His Word and you believe it by faith. And then there are actions that follow. You know, and when we turn to God. The Thessalonians are a great example because they were idolaters. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. For they themselves, that's the Thessalonians, report about what kind of reception we had with you and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, that is Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come. They turned to God from idols to serve Him. You see, they were serving themselves. They were serving their idols. They're now serving the Lord. And to focus on Jesus and to wait for Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come. Repentance is always a turning to God from sin. These elders were estranged from God. They were separated. They had idolatrous hearts and their sin was right in their face. Right before their faces. The solution for that is repentance. Now, why are they repent? God gives some very vivid reasons here. Notice verse 7. For anyone in the house of Israel or the immigrants who stay in Israel who separates himself from me and sets up his idols in his heart, puts right before his face the stumbling block of his iniquity. It sounds very familiar. Same phrase, right? And then comes to a prophet to inquire of me for himself. There you go. Same situation. I, the Lord, will be brought to answer him in my own person. And I shall set my face against that man and make him a sign and a proverb, and I shall cut him off from among my people, so you will know I'm the Lord. This is a very interesting portion here for our passage. He's talking through Ezekiel to the elders that are before him with their hypocritical, idolatrous hearts. But now he begins to talk about anyone in the land, whether it's from the house of Israel or a foreigner dwelling there. There were those who had come to Israel to attach themselves to Yahweh, outwardly speaking, to follow the God of Israel, okay? And he says, if any of these people in the land, who stay, look at middle of verse 7, who stay or dwell, you could say, some translators say dwell in Israel, who separates himself from me and does what the other elders were doing, right? He says, if they do this, I'm going to do something. To them. He says, I, the Lord, will be brought to answer him in my own person. Now we're going to see this answer has to do in the context of judgment. Everyone in the land, telling these elders there at Chaldea, everyone in the land who does what you're doing, I'm going to judge. I'm going to judge you, and then you will know when it happens that I'm the Lord. That's really what he's saying. And he's gracious because he wants to win these estranged elders. He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather they would repent. You see? Gracious God. So why repent, elders in exile? Because those in Israel with the very same sin will be dealt with soon, in less than 3 years, by the way. Personally by the Lord. Personally. And then notice what God says about how he will deal with them. Verse 8, I shall set my face against them, that man. That's not good. That's speaking of judgment. I'm against you. And he says, and make him a sign and a proverb. I'm going to make them an example. They're going to be an example for you that you would repent. An example for us that we would repent. A sign of proverb. And you say, wait a second, what is that about here? Well, we have many examples from Scripture of those who were made a sign and a proverb. Jesus says in Luke 17:32, in the context of his judgment, who those to seek to save their lives rather than trusting in him, and they'll lose their lives. He says, remember Lot's wife. She's a sign of the proverb, isn't she? I don't believe he's saying, remember what she looked like, what color her hair was, or what a mother, kind of mother she was. He's saying, remember when she disobeyed God by looking back because she had an idolatrous heart and she was turned into a pillar of salt in judgment. We see in Jude 7, the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah have become a sign of power of what God will do to those who live ungodly thereafter. Look back at Sodom and Gomorrah. That's what's going to happen to those who live ungodly. There are those even today that become a sign of power. Those in the process of being a sign of power right now, those who have fallen just recently. They're going to be a sign of problem. The name's going to bring up an not a good thing. Judgment will come upon the land, and they'd be made a sign of proverb. And notice he says, and end of 8, I shall cut him off from among my people. That doesn't sound good. Like we saw last week, his people would be cut off from the book of life. They would be judged and thrown into eternal hell. They're cut off. They're no longer his people. They were outwardly his people, but unless you're his by faith, you're going to be cut off. He's going to show where you really are. And then notice what he says here. So that you will know that I am the Lord. You are the elders that came to ask the question. God's going to make an example of those who do the same thing by his judgment so that you will know, because he wants you to turn and be saved. And every idolater hearing this today, he wants you to turn and be saved. So that sign of power doesn't become what you are, that you're judged for your sin. He doesn't want that. He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Now, it's interesting here. We see that the knowledge of the Lord comes in two ways, through judgment or through salvation. And here, the judgment of others, God is going to use to hopefully save some, right? Bring the knowledge of the Lord. Hopefully we'll see that some do, but not many, as we'll see in this book. So these double-minded, hypocritical elders who had set up idols in their heart had come to inquire of God. They were not given the answer they expected, but were given the truth of their condition and an exhortation thus to repent. That's what God says. A lot of people come into churches these days wanting to hear from God. Hear people, I want to hear a word from God. You hear that stuff? Just get your Bible out, by the way. There's a lot of words in there from God. It's all from God. They want to hear a word, for they want to hear something about themselves, for themselves. It's always for themselves. But God's word reveals, when it is heard and listened to, that they need to repent. He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather they repent and live. Okay, so now at this point, as we finish, we come to an interesting question. What about the double-minded who inquires from the double-minded prophet? What about those who go to bad churches to inquire the Lord for themselves and they get an answer from the bad pastors? What about them? What's God going to do? Verse 9. But if the prophet has prevailed upon to speak a word, it is I, the Lord, I have prevailed upon that prophet, and I will stretch out my hand against him and destroy him from among my people Israel. And they will bear the punishment of their iniquity, as the iniquity of the inquirer is, so is the iniquity of the prophet will be. In order that the house of Israel may no longer stray from me and no longer defile themselves with all their transgressions, that they may be my people and I shall be their God, declares the Lord God. Again, God is always trying. He's desiring to save. So here, you have the case here, the false prophet guy. He is prevailed upon and he gives them what they want to hear. But God even says he's sovereign over that. He's sovereign on that. He's allowing that to expose who people really are. It's interesting. He's allowing all kinds of things to happen in our country right now, which is exposing where people are, exposing their sin. So he's sovereign over it. You might remember we saw in Deuteronomy 13 that God allows false prophets to test us to see if we love him. So here he says he's against them. End of 9, I will stretch out my hand against him. That's the prophet who gave in and gave the people what they want. That's the seeker-sensitive pastor, by the way, who gave in and gave the people what they wanted rather than proclaiming the truth that they needed to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I'll stretch out my hand against him and destroy him from among my people. Speaks of judgment. And in context, the local context would be, indeed, in just over 3 years, Nebuchadnezzar would lay siege on Jerusalem. After that 18-month siege, they would be slaughtered and the remaining would be expelled. Within that, those hypocritical prophets would be destroyed. End of 9. I'll stretch out my hand against him and destroy him. You don't want God saying you're just going to destroy you. God says it here. You got idols in your heart? He's going to destroy you. You answer for God something other than what God says? He's going to destroy you. You speak for God, but you don't speak for God? You're in big trouble. And then he says, they will bear the punishment of their iniquity. And it's clear it's the iniquity of the one who inquires wrongly because of idolatry. And so is the iniquity of the prophet will be. They're going to bear it themselves. You're going to bear your own sin. A terrible thing. You know, we're terrible sinners. I've sinned greatly. And for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But Jesus Christ went to the cross and he bore our sins in his body on the cross. If you trust in him, you will be saved. And he'll change your heart from an idolatrous heart to a heart that desires to seek him and love him and serve him. You can be saved. You can be saved. So here, God will bring judgment. And notice, it seems to be foreshadowing something with the nation of Israel, as does the whole book of Ezekiel, by the way. He says something very interesting here, that he's going to bring really good through this judgment. In order, verse 11, that the house of Israel may no longer stray from me and no longer defile themselves with all their transgressions, that thus they will be my people and I shall be their God, declares the Lord God. Evidently, this judgment of God's people, this total destruction and judgment of them, where very few remain and go in exile, is a picture of when God will save Israel. It's a picture of when he will bring the same thing, but God will use that to turn their hearts. It's a picture. It's a picture. Indeed, he says here that they will be my people and I shall be their God. Turn to Jeremiah 31:31, the new covenant. He's pointing to a future time in which Israel will be saved. And if someone says they're not going to be saved, they are a false teacher. They're teaching falsehood. Get away from them, no matter what their gospel is, get away from them. It's eventually going to get perverted. We see that. We see that. Jeremiah 31:31. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And how does that happen? They shall know or teach again each neighbor, each man's brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least to the greatest. That's a prediction of the entire salvation of the house of Israel, by the way, in Judah. And then he says here, how's that going to happen? For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I'll remember no more. It's through the forgiveness of sins. And we've been going through this in Zechariah, that God is going to save his people. He's going to save them, but he's going to save them in the context of severe trial and punishment and discipline. Just as he disciplined Israel and punished those who were not saved to death as an example for those who would be remaining, he's going to do that again. Zechariah chapter 13, verse 9 makes it clear that 2/3 of Israel will perish and the rest will be refined. And that 1/3 that remains will be saved. We saw this in Zechariah. We saw that in one day, Zechariah chapter 3, in one day he was going to remove the iniquity of the land. We see in Matthew 24 that when the Jews see the Lord Jesus, the ones that are left, after being purged through this terrible judgment, they're going to see this judgment and the purging of God, and they're going to see the one who they pierced, and they're going to mourn over him. Matthew 24:29, but immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be dark and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn and they will see the Son of Man coming in the sky with power and great glory. Revelation 1:7, behold, he is coming in the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. That was the Jews. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. Even so, amen. Zechariah 12:10, God's going to change the hearts of them as they see this great purging and they see what God does in judgment. Zechariah 12:10, I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication so that they will look on me whom they pierced. Zechariah, by the way, whom they pierced. and will mourn for him as one who mourns for an only son, and they will weep bitterly over him like the bitter weeping over a firstborn. God is going to purge out their iniquity in the context of judgment, and then when they see Jesus, they're going to be saved. The only way to know the Lord is through judgment or through salvation. And he says here back in our passage that he's going to do all this, thus they will be my people, and I shall be their God. And he said there that they may no longer stray from me, verse 11, and no longer defile themselves with all their transgressions. He's going to bring judgment upon those who are unrepentant to move the hearts of the rest to repent. And that's really the lesson here. That God's judgment should move you to desire not to be judged. To go to the one who took your judgment for you. The Lord Jesus took the cup of God's wrath upon humanity for their sin. He took it. He bore our sins in his body on the cross. He paid the full price. We sung it earlier. Jesus paid it all. If you turn to him, you will be saved. So then we see grace foreshadowing what God would ultimately do when he brings about the salvation of the Jews. When they are purged and broken and repent when they see Jesus. So then, we've seen the double-minded hypocritical elders who set up idols in their hearts. They come to inquire by God. These hypocritical elders are not given the answer they expect, but given the truth of their condition and exhorted to repent. And we've seen the consequences of those who do not. What can we learn? First of all, there may be some here today who have idols in your heart. You don't know the Lord. You're the Lord of your life. You're the idol. You serve yourself. You serve yourself every day. You don't even think about God. You never trust him. You don't believe in him, practically speaking. But you want to know things from him because it might help you in your life. Well, God's not going to answer your questions. He tells you to repent. Repent and believe. And there's some of us who are believers who've slipped. You've allowed idolatrous things to slip in. No temptation has come upon you except that which is common to man. But God is faithful, right? He's not going to allow you to go past what you can endure, but he's going to provide a way of escape that you may be able to make it through that temptation. And if you've fallen into it, just confess it, get right with the Lord. Lord, I've let this become something I've trusted in. Whether it's the checkbook, whether it's the jobs, I've trusted in this. I've trusted in these things, not you.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, and Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Ezekiel. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you. Thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org.
Friend, before we close today's broadcast, I want to talk to you directly about your eternal destiny. If you were to die right now, do you know where you would spend eternity? If you're unsure, here are some important questions to answer. Do you believe that you are a sinner in need of forgiveness, that you've sinned against a holy God? Do you believe that you are unable to do anything about your sinful condition? Do you believe that Jesus is God, that he took on human flesh, that he came and lived the sinless life and went to the cross and died for your sins? He was buried and rose from the dead 3 days later. Do you believe that his work on the cross was sufficient to forgive you of your sins? Are you willing to acknowledge that until you repent of your sins and turn to the Lord Jesus to save you, that you deserve hell and will be sent there? If you believe these things and want to receive Jesus' offer of eternal salvation, then you need to turn to him and ask him. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Father, I thank you so much for your word and your son Jesus. And I pray for those listening today who
who do not know you, who still are in their sins, that they would turn from their sin and trust in your Son, Jesus Christ, for salvation, that they would be saved. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your Son, and it is in his name we pray.
If you've taken that eternally important step, we'd love to come alongside you in your new relationship with Christ. So would you take a moment and contact us? We'd like to send you our new believers packet. In that packet, you'll find a message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt, some helpful Bible study tools, and a Bible. It's our gift to you to help you in your new relationship with Christ. You can request your new believers packet online at etsradio.org, or if you prefer, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And from all of us at Equipping the Saints, welcome to the family.